Is TV still bad for kids? And can TV actually be part of a healthy screen time? We'll find out today with our guest, TV producer Angela Centemero, creator of shows like Blue's Clues, Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, and author of the book Preschool Clues, Raising Smart, Inspired, and Engaged Kids in a Screen-Filled World. This is the Harvard EdCast. I figure we'll start there because you've made no secret about the influence Fred Rogers has had on your work. And so far that his wife has called you a modern day Fred Rogers. So how have you used Fred Rogers as a guide to your own creative work?
Well, you know, I was a little bit of a stalker in a lot of ways of Fred, in the sense that as a preschooler, I was his number one fan. You know, I couldn't sit any closer to the TV. I talked to him. And then I did a paper in eighth grade and learned about his child development background. And I thought that was really, really interesting. And so it just stayed with me as I went to university studying education and child development and kids, and worked as a preschool teacher. And then when I went to get my master's in child development, at the same time I was working at Nickelodeon. So the idea to marry education, child development, and media, I strongly believe came from Fred's inspiration and his work.
So when you were given the baton, if you will, to create some new program, what made you focus in on the neighborhood of make-believe, particularly Daniel Tiger?
The very first thing, you know, the goal was truly to promote Fred's legacy in the industry and in terms of a tribute to who he is. And so right away we knew that that's what we wanted to do, in the sense of I did not want to hire somebody that would be a Fred Rogers, right? Fred Rogers was born. He's not an actor that we can go and find. And so the idea to then animate the neighborhood of make-believe so that we can visually see some of the feelings that our characters would have and be able to hit very strongly the social and emotional curriculum that Fred had created was very important. So the idea of the neighborhood of make-believe and then marrying that to the main street, because I know a big part of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood was when he would go into the local shops and stores and factories and show us how things worked. And so the idea of a neighborhood and being able to have adults who really cared about kids depicted in the show was really important to us. So we expanded this neighborhood of make-believe. And so Daniel Tiger not only was my favorite as a preschooler, which I totally think was a big piece of it, but he was Fred's very, very first puppet. And so that made so much sense to us to think about, okay, so Daniel Tiger grew up, and all of the characters in the neighborhood of make-believe grew up, and they all have preschoolers of their own. And the preschool son of the original Daniel Tiger is our Daniel Tiger, who wears a little red sweater and little sneakers in homage to Fred.
So as a creator of preschoolers, shows geared toward preschoolers, what does it mean to routinely have researchers find that your programs are actually working to help teach social emotional learning or even just engaging children with autism?
You know, for me, it was always the point, right? It was the point of I could have gone into education and become a teacher. And then I thought that if we could put the very best curriculum on television, we could move the needle with millions of kids at a time, instead of a classroom at a time. And we could complement the work that teachers are doing in the classroom and complement the work that parents are doing at home. And so that's always been a goal of ours. So really, right back when Blue's Clues was created, which was my very first show, we did it in such a way that the skills were scaffolded, and they were cognitive skills and kindergarten readiness skills. But then we worked with the University of Alabama and Jennings Bryant to have him do longitudinal research on the show to prove that kids were learning not just the skills that we depicted on the show, but they were mastering the concepts. And so every time we take on a project, we want to move the needle in some way. And so for Daniel Tiger, it was so important that we figure out a way to get these socio-emotional skills to be easily used and easily mastered and learned. I call them strategies with a handle, because you can easily pick them up and take them with you. And so these little musical jingles that were inspired and based on a lot of Fred's music and songs are put into this preschool language so that they can then use them. And so, yes, when the research comes back and proves that what we're doing on TV is actually moving the needle. It's a huge celebration on our side. We're very, very excited about that.
Just to shift gears a little bit, and I think this touches upon this book that you've written, Preschool Clues, is the old debate about screen time in kids. It's funny how all this time has gone on, but we're still kind of debating how much time, if it's good, if it's bad. So one of the things you've written about is looking at media and approaching kids and media like almost like food. So can you talk a little bit about your idea and thinking behind this healthy green smoothie in context of television screen time?
Yes. I mean, I think that I am still amazed when I get this question about whether or not media is good for kids or whether or not I should feel guilty to let my kids watch television. And so in big part, the reason for writing the book was to break apart the clues that are inside all of my shows so that you can see the child development theory inside, because I want to prove that not all content is created equal, and that when content is created with the intent to teach and the intent to empower kids, that we can move the needle. We can do that, and I talk about why. And so what we need to do as parents is be, as far as I'm concerned, is to be involved viewers. So co-viewing has amazing benefits if you have the time and the ability to sit down with your child, especially the younger children. But even being an involved viewer, meaning we know what our kids are watching because I've read the labels on the back of the food that they eat, right? So you're reading the labels or understanding how a show is created that your child loves, and giving some examples of what to look for to create a high-quality media smoothie. And I talk about engagement and entertainment and education, because we need all of those to kind of make a program that's something that kids come to voluntarily, that they want to watch, that they're empowered to watch, and that it sparks them or there's some sort of passion about that comes out of watching a program that has them go do some dramatic play or go outside and create a craft or, you know, do something else. But I talk about it with regard to food because I feel like what we also try to do, right, when we're trying to feed our kids nutritionally, we put in our cabinets anything that it's okay for them to eat, right? And then we let them choose in a lot of ways what snacks they're going to eat. And that's what I'm talking about with like a yes media list. We've already pre-approved and filled our quote-unquote cupboards with the programs that we deem good for our kids, with our morals and our values and our belief systems. And then kids can choose and they can pick what it is they want to watch. And also, I love the idea that media can complement. So when your child is having an issue at school that's similar to something Daniel Tiger is having, there's that program that you can now on demand choose that's going to help with that issue.
Do you talk at all about, you know, I'm sitting here and I keep thinking about some of the new devices and media that has been created since you started working in this industry, so that times have changed in a lot of ways. And I keep thinking about smartphones and iPads and that media. And so do you feel that the same, I don't know, rules apply for all media, or do you see TV as something different?
Yeah, I think when I say TV, I really am saying media content, and right now it's just more pervasive, right? It's everywhere. It's on your phones. You can watch clips. You know, it just surrounds our kids, and it's not going to go away. And so the idea of good, high-quality content and knowing, having us be media literate and knowing how to distinguish between good quality content is what's so important, because, again, I really believe that, I know from the research that you're learning from what it is that you're watching. You're learning from everything from what you're watching, and just making sure that you're learning or you're teaching your kids what you want to be teaching them, right? That we're feeding their brains with what we want, with that good quality food, is really, really important. So I don't think that it's changed. I think that interactivity and the idea that there's a back and forth, that your child can participate, is a great thing. And again, I'm a firm believer in having kids participate in their learning, right, and be part of that learning, whether you're doing it for real or you do it the way that I started doing it 25 years ago, right, where we just leave a pause for kids to be able to think and answer. So, you know, for me, I'm just a believer in that participation and that the apps and some of the interactivity is actually, it's really great in terms of practicing the skills that we want kids to know and learn.
With so much programming out there, I mean, we have so many networks, so many channels, and what advice do you have for parents about where to actually begin evaluating the options?
So there is so much out there. And I think that the other thing we have to think about, right, is even when something says it's educational, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is. But I think Common Sense Media is a website that has a lot of information that you can look up before you head to the movies or look up before you start a new show and see how they're rating it. I think watching at least one of the episodes to understand what it is that the show is all about. Just doing a little bit of research in terms of just a little bit of, you know, playground talk with other parents and what it is that their kids are getting from shows. I think that's just really important because of what we're, you know, when you turn on a show or you give your kid your phone with a character and content on it, you're opening the door to your house or your car and letting these characters come in and sit beside your kids and play with them. So you just want to know a little bit more about them and about the people who are creating these shows and what intent they have or had.
Yes, great. And so one of the sites that you didn't mention was your own website. If you want to mention the web address for that, because I went there and you have a lot of information on that site. So can you share that with us?
Yes, thank you. AngelasClues.com. I put a lot of information there about not just my shows, but other shows and also other places that you can go for finding out some more information and any research that's coming in or interesting articles, and then also answering a ton of questions that parents have, which I love to do. And also some of the ideas that we get about things that they want to see Daniel doing or encountering, we definitely bring that into our writing meetings.
You know, I didn't ask you, but what are some of your favorite shows that you are not the producer of that you really enjoy for preschoolers?
You know, I am a big fan of the PBS Kids programming and the level of research and consultants that they have on there. Peg Plus Cat is for math. Team Umizoomi Von Nick Jr. is for math. I like Blaze and Odd Squad and the softer and sweeter shows as well that you know, I'm hard.
Sorry to put you on the spot there.
I'm always editing, but you know, we have a lot of people that we worked really closely with at Blue's Clues that have gone on and created their own shows, which I'm so proud of, right? And so Doc McStuffins is one in terms of the positive, seeing yourself depicted on TV and aspirationally what you could be doing, and you know, things like that. I definitely love.
Well, thank you so much, Angela, for taking the time to chat with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank you so much for everything you guys all do.
This has been the Harvard EdCast, a production of the Harvard Graduate School of Education. Thanks for listening.